Who's in the Room? How Great Leaders Structure and Manage the Teams Around Them. Author, Bob Frisch. A Myth About Leadership. At the heart of every organization chart lies a myth. At the top, there's the boss. Directly beneath are the boss's direct reports, anywhere from 5 to 15 people who meet regularly as the senior team. The senior team may be consulted or informed, but the most important decisions are rarely made by a group like this sitting around a conference table. Instead, the organization's leader typically calls in an inner core of intimate advisors, along with any other individuals who might shed light on a specific situation. It is this team with no name in the room that actually makes decisions. Who's in the room? Executives on the senior team resent the boss's end runs. They feel shut out of the big decisions, and this leads to doubts and insecurity about their own status. Will they be consulted before the next major decision is made, or only informed after? Will their opinions be solicited? And how much weight will they carry? When it comes to critical decisions, bosses implicitly understand the inherent limitations of the formal executive team. They tacitly acknowledge that it's desirable for the boss to have the ability to vary who's in the room when major decisions are being made. Team building won't solve the problem. CEOs may show confidence in their teams when they fill out consultant surveys, but actions speak louder than words. The corporate emphasis on team building activities implies that the problem lies with the team itself. Somehow the senior management team, or SMT, isn't working to its potential, and that the root cause is psychological. Maybe the problem is that there is no problem. It's time to stop blaming the SMT or the leader for the failure of the team to effectively raise and resolve critical issues. Instead of assuming that a single management team of direct reports can best handle most issues, great leaders surround themselves with a portfolio of teams to draw upon. Rather than seeing themselves as the organization chart depicts them, they view themselves as being at the center of a series of concentric circles, with the organization radiating outward. Outcomes-based decision-making. The solution for many companies is to learn how to have more effective meetings. Let's argue for eliminating as many permanent groups and committees as is feasible, and replacing them with the objectives-based teams. This drives you away from management by the organization chart, and towards an outcome-based approach to team management. This simply means that in any situation calling for the involvement of a team, a leader should start not with the group that the organization chart or the committee structure implies should be engaged, but with the outcome that he or she is seeking. The three centers of gravity. The starting point is a consideration of three teams already in existence in most organizations: the kitchen cabinet, the senior management team, and the larger all-officers group, or the senior management team plus direct reports or some similar configuration. Each of these teams, by virtue of its size and composition, is better at producing some kinds of outcomes than others. 1. Kitchen cabinet. Kitchen cabinets are almost always small, sometimes as small as one other person besides the CEO. Small groups are much better for considering decisions than larger groups, which may find decision-making almost impossible. 2. Senior team management. A medium-sized group is the ideal venue for alignment. Such a group can get all the relevant parts of the organization coordinated and working together to achieve broad general objectives. 3. All officers or similar large group. A group somewhat larger than the senior management team is ideal for generating ideas, uncovering options, implementing initiatives, and bringing diverse perspectives and creativity to difficult issues. The portfolio and the payoff. With an unbounded ability to find an organization's universe of teams and with principles for leveraging those teams' number, size, composition, issue ownership, and timing, the CEO has a powerful set of tools for getting the most out of the organization. He can mold a portfolio of teams based on desired outcomes and what each team does best. Guided by the principle of managing teams for outcomes and armed with the ability to flex the portfolio as well as the key dimensions of individual teams, the CEO can cut incisively through the clutter, the inaction, and the sheer management sclerosis that afflicts almost every organization. The payoff is significant. 1. The reality of the kitchen cabinet gains legitimacy. Acknowledging the use and desirability of the kitchen cabinets puts the actual role of the senior management team into a more realistic context. 2. Teams get better outcomes faster. Optimized by size, composition, issue ownership, and timing to achieve desired outcomes, teams are better equipped to address the issues they face and to do so faster. 3. The SMT is free to do what it does best. Far from being reduced in importance, the SMT is able to focus on the thing it does best, align the organization in such critical areas as vision, allocation of resources, and execution. 4. CEOs get organizations that fit their personal approach to leading. Many CEOs balance, in varying proportions, both a strong bias for action and a need for the best possible input and advice. Three critical tasks for the SMT. No other team in an organization combines the seniority, representativeness, collective wisdom, experience, and competence of the SMT. The SMT has the potential to shine at several extremely important strategic tasks, the outcomes of which can profoundly affect the performance of the entire organization. These critical tasks are 1. Developing a shared view of where the organization needs to go and why. 2. Managing a prioritized set of strategic initiatives designed to get there. 3. Managing dependencies within and among initiatives to ensure their success. In other words, these tasks concern vision, allocation of resources, and execution. Align the SMT around a common view of the world. A good starting point is to pursue a deliberately pedestrian definition of vision by asking these questions. What is the next set of opportunities this company is going to pursue? And what are the capabilities that will lead us to realize those opportunities successfully? Arriving at the answers that will form the vision involves developing a common view of changes in the external world, understanding the organization's existing capabilities for pursuing the opportunities that those changes will create, and determining what new capabilities and assets will be needed in the future. Defining the boundaries of the current business that will need to be modified or removed in order to pursue these specific opportunities. Once the vision has been established, the tools to operationalize it can be put in place. But the key is to first make sure that the SMT understands where the company is headed, why that direction makes sense, and what it will need to get there. Prioritize and integrate initiatives to hit the strategic bullseye. Two of the most difficult and frustrating challenges that any organization faces are prioritizing initiatives and then integrating them in a way that best achieves the company's strategic objectives. This high-level management of initiatives is the bridge between setting a strategy and seeing it successfully implemented. If the CEO and SMT can get the organization focused on a limited set of critical initiatives, develop clarity around objectives, resources, milestones, and measures for success, and collectively track and manage them, then they have a fighting chance of reaching their strategic goals. Otherwise, strategies tend to get stuck in the mud. Move on from should we do this to how do we do this? At some point, the SMT as a whole will appear to be dysfunctional. But it's not the psychological dysfunction. It's a failure of process, a failure to put the team to one of its highest and best uses, and a failure to have the right conversation. Until your team is having the right conversations, you're missing out on the best way to build an effective team. Allow it to succeed at the things that it is best suited to do, and that also confer the most advantage on the business.